or it hasn't really caught steam. I don't know what the phrase is.
Caught steam?
Let's cut this part out.
Cut steam.
We'll leave it in.
Welcome to the official Pixel Legends podcast. This is episode 4.
Episode 4.
Yay.
And we have a guest. This, my friends, is Ethan Hawks.
Hello.
And he's our editor on the website. He's going to be writing a lot of articles for us, hopefully. Mm-hmm.
But today he takes center stage.
Because he is on
now. On the mic.
He is on the mic, emceeing.
This is his Pixel Legends initiation.
Exactly.
I hope.
he's not coming back. This is the last time he'll be here.
What?
He's
done. He's like, oh man, I'm just trying to start the recording.
Matt scared him away already.
Matt doesn't even know how to plug the microphone in today.
Yeah. Took,
just simple troubleshooting. It happens to the best.
Yeah, right. One day I'll figure out which cable actually is attached to the mic and which cable is just plugged into my PlayStation controller and we'll get that sorted out.
You put in the charge cable?
Yeah, I did. That's why it wasn't working. Anyway, moving on. Today we're going to have our first kind of, I guess, normal episode, you want to call it? I don't know, like episode that we actually have our intended segments and not just talk about something particularly special.
Episode 1 was our analysis on the VGA results.
Episode 2 is Christmas.
Episode 2 is our Christmas special. And then episode 3, because we're still a fairly new podcast, we wanted to give you guys the opportunity to kind of get to know us a little better. So we
did our top 5.
Our top 5s.
Yeah. And so episode 4 is the actual... is ironically the first time we're doing a normal episode for the Pixel Legends podcast here. So we're going to talk about our main topic, or first topic here today is going to be just... the games that you guys have been playing recently. Let's kind of get started. It's the new year. Did you guys get any good games for Christmas? Have you been playing them? What's been going on? Andrew, why don't you start with what you've been playing?
Okay. Been a busy season for me. Therefore, I haven't had a whole lot of time to play games, which means my portable system, my 3DS, has probably been getting the most play out of anything right now. I am playing Super Mario 3D Land.
All right, nice.
Yeah, I picked up that and Mario Kart 7 recently. So I'm starting to get a few 3DS games now. Super Mario 3D Land is probably what I'll talk about today, though. It's good.
We all three of us here have 3DSs.
Yes.
And we all have different 3DSs, too.
Yes.
I got my shiny...
the Cosmo
black. I got my black one right here.
I've chosen to roll with the teal color.
I don't like the blue. But,
well, that's why you don't have it.
Yeah, you can have your blues.
I'm fine. I'm comfortable with my blue.
He's man enough to like the blue.
Yeah, and Andrew's rocking the...
The Legend of Zelda limited edition. It's actually the same color as Matt's. It's the Cosmo black, but it has...
Let's kill him and make it.
But they are conspiring right now. I see daggers in their eyes. The 3DS is in danger.
But we do have the benefit of our...
more games.
More games. We got our nice shiny ambassador program.
Yeah, they did get their 3DSs before I did.
Now, I also have Super Mario 3D Land. Ethan, have you picked that up yet?
No, I do not have it. I'm planning on getting it at some point soon.
Maybe.
When it drops in price.
I need to...
Don't count on it.
I need to get the...
Mario games on DS are still full price.
Yeah, I know. I need to get the Mario Kart 7 too, so we can have a game with that. But so tell us about Mario 3D Land and what you've been playing with that.
I totally see why it won Handheld Game of the Year at the VGAs. Mm-hmm. It's very fun. The 3D aspect plays into it a lot more than I was anticipating. Because it has kind of like an isometric kind of point of view, but it's a little more slanted kind of. So depth of field is very important when it comes to navigating the worlds.
Yeah.
It's not as big as like Super Mario Sunshine or Super Mario 64, where you had like the big actual like worlds to kind of traverse. It's more kind of like shorter experiences, but they're a little more elaborate. Like they're a little more kind of like precision probably takes, you know, the front seat on, you know, how you're supposed to go through levels. However, the game is really easy. Like, too easy. I basically went through the game pretty quick. You know, I timed it out. Like I said, I haven't had a lot of time to play games.
So you've already beaten it then?
Okay. I've beaten it, yeah. I've gone through worlds 1 through 8. However, something that was really cool and something that kind of adds some replayability to the game is the fact that once you beat it, you unlock special worlds.
Okay.
So basically, as you kind of go through like the outer like map type world, mm-hmm. when you're like selecting levels, there's like a blank spot at the very beginning of each one. I'm like, huh, I wonder what that's for. When you beat the game, that spot turns into a warp pipe.
Oh, okay. And yeah, I was wondering what those were for, too.
Yeah,
I was...
and you go down the warp pipe, and it basically takes you down to a whole new level. Whole nother worlds, 1 through 8.
Oh, okay.
So, instead of...
Like, full levels.
It's yeah,
like
new game, worlds. New game plus.
Well,
levels.
The thing is it's like, it's a lot of... The majority, if not all, of the levels are actually just harder versions of the... original 1 through 8, like they add certain things to it. Like, obviously, all the worlds have a time limit on them, but it's not really an issue. You don't really worry about the time running out. But on these special worlds, some of the levels will only start you out with 30 seconds, and so then as you're going through the level, you have to keep picking up the little like clocks that like increase your time.
Yeah.
And so you have to like keep doing that within like 10 second intervals.
That's crazy.
In order
to get to the end.
But at the same time you're still trying to get all the star coins. You know, there's
three star coins.
So you're like watching your time, trying to get more little clocks so that you can not run out of time, but you're also trying to search high and low for the star coins.
Because
they will be in different spots.
So is this actually harder?
Because it is harder. Easy. It starts the world original 1 through 8, too easy probably, in my book. Now, it does get harder, especially in the later worlds of that special section, because not only do you have the shorter time limits, there's some where you have this very annoying, like, purple Shadow Mario.
Oh, okay, yeah, they've been doing that in Mario Galaxy.
Okay, he like, chases you through the entire map, and so you're trying to avoid him at the same time you're trying to get the Star Coins, or sometimes it's both that and you have to increase your time.
Yeah. One thing I appreciated about Mario 3D Land, I haven't beaten it yet, but I've been playing through it, and I like some of the perspective stuff they've done with the 3D stuff, so where, like you said, where it's kind of an isometric perspective throughout most of the game, but the camera moves around, and you'll get to some parts where it's like a fixed camera and it will just stay stuck. And then like if you don't have the 3D on, it's really hard to tell. But there'll be a perspective trick where like something is below or above something when it looks like it's next to it, or
something
along those lines. If you have the 3D on, you can kind of see those sections. And I really thought that was cool. I wish I took a little bit more advantage of it,
because
it doesn't show up very often.
So it's like, it actually makes it that the 3D is not just a gimmick, and it actually makes it kind of more.
Yeah, it's actually part of the gameplay.
It's actually part of the gameplay.
So they integrated it very well.
Yeah, yeah. I think I wish they did more of it, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
I wish they did. So,
or even
with
the 3DS games in general, which
it sounds hard to implement though.
Yeah.
Make it actually useful.
That's
not just
true.
Well, I mean, I don't think it should be forced, but I think you're that like if it's implemented as part of gameplay, that's gonna be that's gonna be big for the 3DS if they can make the 3D actually kind of more than just oh hey, this game is in 3D.
Right. I feel like if anyone can be innovative about that kind of thing, though, it's Nintendo. So I have high hopes for the system as a whole.
One of the
other things I really like about the game is as you progress, it just kind of slowly reveals certain things. Like, I'm not going to ruin it for you because you haven't.
No spoilers in the Mario game.
I know.
Yeah, you know.
I am going to spoil a little something. It's kind of a surprise, but.
Is Bowser in it?
Well, he's in it.
Yeah, of course. You find that out in the first. It is early game spoilers.
Yeah, I won't tell you how he gets a Tanuki tail, but he has one.
Okay.
Obviously, the big thing is the Tanuki suit, and there are other cool power-ups. There's a boomerang power-up, kind of like the Hammer Bros, but instead of a hammer, you have a boomerang.
Mm.
Also, after you beat the first special world, after you've beaten the game the first time, you actually unlock the ability to play as Luigi, which is cool. And when he gets the Tanuki suit, instead of going like raccoon like Mario does, he actually turns into like kind of this little fox guy.
Really?
And so like that's kind of cool. I've been playing as him.
So you control kind of like Luigi does, you know, not as tight controls, but he jumps higher and stuff.
You know, I actually haven't noticed much of a difference between him and Mario this time around. I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah.
Usually they kind of change it up a little bit, but I didn't really notice a change. He runs differently.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any faster or slower, but just the way he moves is different.
Yeah, I know that in Mario Galaxy and Galaxy 2, when you could play as Luigi, Like it was like Ethan was saying, yeah. you can jump a little bit higher, but he's slidey. He's kind of
He's a little flighty.
He doesn't have as tight control as Mario does. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So, Ethan, what about you? What have you been playing recently?
Recently over the weekend, I found a sale on a site. I don't want to really advertise it. Is that bad if we start advertising?
You can say okay.
Well, Green Man Gaming. They have like a interesting kind of trying to do what GameStop does for PC gaming. Anyway, whatever. The point is. I picked up Fear 3 for about $6, and I bought my friend it, so I'd have someone to play with, because I always heard a lot about the co-op. Mm-hmm. And that's what we played. I played it throughout. It was an extremely short game. We beat it in one sitting, and I haven't done that since I was a kid.
Wow, that's... How many hours would you say?
It was probably about 4.5 to 5.
Wow.
And what game is this?
Fear 3.
Fear 3.
The third one.
Yeah, so that's short.
That's very short.
Even for an FPS. Yeah, I mean, like,
especially for an FPS.
You usually get like, 8 hours, 10 hours maybe.
Yeah, and it wasn't, like the first, it's like the first Portal was really short, but really good. This was really short and mediocre.
Oh, okay.
Did you like the first two?
You didn't pay full price?
What'd you say?
You didn't pay full price for it, right?
No, I didn't.
$6.
Okay.
Totally. So,
$6 worth of entertainment.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
I'm happy.
Okay.
But yeah, I like the first Fear. The very first Fear I played was probably the first horror game I actually played, because that came out like 2000. Nobody knows.
2000. Sorry, man. I have not memorized.
I'm totally in this.
I'm not really a horror guy, but the new Resident Evil for 3DS actually looks pretty good. The Revelations.
They have a demo for
got
that.
Really
out.
Good scores.
Is it a demo?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Oh,
anyway, back to me. We have.
He's fitting right in.
He's over.
Anyway, it's like the first Fear I liked. I played it the very first time. I love atmospheric games, like Bioshock is one of my favorite games ever. And it's got such a strong atmosphere.
Very good.
In the first one. It was kind of an awkward stage between the graphics of last gen, like PlayStation 2 and Xbox fully coming out. Mm-hmm. I think it came out right before the first Xbox 360 started coming out. So it had weird graphics. But it was very well done, although the cutscenes were good. The AI was amazing. It was like one of the first games where the AI would like throw over tables and you can use them as cover.
Oh, wow.
And they were just so smart. It was like the cover system the AI had, but you never had it.
Mm-hmm. That's unfair.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
Cover systems don't work as well in a first-person game, though.
No.
I find.
That's
either you get a face full of wall that you're looking at,
right.
Or it has to cut to third-person. Which can be a little disorientating.
Right.
To try to,
I do feel like that's the one of the things that kind of takes me out of the experience whenever I'm playing like a Call of Duty, though, because like I already said I'm not a big shooter guy, and I'm not even a fan of Call of Duty. But like when I have played it, it's like, why would I not be in cover right now? You know, like this is what any normal situation, what any normal person under this situation would do if they were under fire,
would
take cover. You know?
It's true. You wouldn't be super soldier.
Yeah.
No, but I liked the first Fear. It was good. The second Fear came out. It was more of the same. It wasn't as impressive at the time. I don't think the scare tactics... That was another thing. This game, to me, was scary. The first one freaked me out a lot. I got, cold sweats playing it, and was kind of a wussy. The second one wasn't as scary, and then the third one introduced co-op for the very first time in the franchise, which what they tried to do is they made it where one person would... see certain things that the other character wouldn't, which was kind of meant to unhinge the player. It really didn't work. It made me just go, hey man, did you see that cool scene? No, I didn't see it. I missed it. Oh, it was kind of scary. Yeah, okay. I don't know.
I think that like a horror game doesn't seem to work as well if you have two people playing it at the same time.
No, and a lot of people faulted the first Fear for having the not being as scary as like it's a different kind of horror.
Yeah.
It's little girls popping out, Japanese style. But
I never understood the whole fixation on creepy children in horror things.
Kids are scary.
Yeah, I guess kids are scary, man. Yeah.
Scary kids.
I think it's because you're taking something that is supposed to be, I mean, armchair psychologist, all this stuff. No, I think it's because you're taking something that's supposed to be innocent and cute. And if you kind of twist it enough where it's like, ooh, that's like not innocent and cute anymore, then it makes it more creepy than if it was like Mm-hmm. Okay. A scary old man, because, like, those are not necessarily innocent and cute. So, like, if you... Then it's, like, not... Like, I don't know. That's just my guess. It's, okay. Like,
so it's the whole idea of the fact that it's being twisted far from its original...
Yeah, that's what I would guess. Like, I mean,
and she blows up people with her mind powers.
It's, yeah, that would scare me.
Yeah, I mean, I would be terrified of a child who could blow me up with her mind powers.
Yeah.
But anyway, the thing about the first one is the gameplay mechanics were so strong that even if you didn't find the game scary, it was still really fun to play. The AI was smart, and the shooting felt good, and there's new stuff to do in every level. Mm. Well, not really. Kind of had to save it. Now I think about it. But either way, it was fun. I enjoyed it. But the third one, it's just the scary is not... It's not scary. The combat's basically mediocre. It's just standard shooter. You get them all the time. There is a cover system you can use as first person, and like you said... You're basically staring at a wall the entire time. So I never used it. I just
So for Fear 3 then, for the co-op then, is that more like an integral part of the gameplay?
It actually is. I feel that the game wouldn't actually be fun at all if you played it single player. The game is totally meant around to have two people. I think if you play single player, you're going to have because it's about two brothers and they're the sons of the little girl. Mm. Basically, it's totally a weird, weird story. I don't feel comfortable talking about it. Some of the things I've seen in there.
This is a family-friendly show.
There was buckets of blood. Anyway, but there's two brothers, right? And they both have different abilities. Sometimes you can only pass through certain things. Basically,
so they don't play the same then. You're not like the same.
Huh. Is basically the standard FPS shooter guy from Fear 1 and kind of Fear 2, but. He has the power of slowing down time and picking up weapons and shooting grenades and blah, 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 standard. But then you have his brother, who is more of a sidekick. In the first game, he controlled the entire army, but now he's your ally, like the entire clone army. Guys are totally looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, what are you talking about? This is totally new. Anyway.
Well, we're glad that there's someone here that plays those games, so they can talk about it.
Even though
wait until we tell you about the time we played Amnesia.
What's that?
Amnesia? Oh.
You never heard of Amnesia?
The Dr. Sen? Amnesia? Oh man. Okay, we gotta show it. I'll be later. We'll have a podcast episode just for that.
All about that.
Do we have to?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, he plays as a psychic character. His main ability is to shoot things out of his hand. He can shield the main character who shoots the guns and stuff. He can pick up objects and throw them at people.
He's the Silver the Hedgehog?
Basically, yeah.
Let's not bring up that game. Let's not bring up that game.
Sorry, I thought it was inappropriate.
But he was actually like that. He was actually fun. He totally was the cool character to play, because he could also lift people up and freeze them in place. The coolest part was when he could go in and take a character and use it as control. Basically,
you can control the enemy.
Totally, but he like warps over to him and takes over their body, and then he runs around and you can either self destruct him as like a bomb, so you can run in and people will be like, "Who's this guy?" And then he just blows up next to him and kills everyone. So it was pretty cool in that fact, but being that it was short and I beat it twice. That's how short it was, and I didn't.
Did you beat it twice because it was like fun enough to beat twice, or like I mean, you said it was mediocre, and then you said you played it twice. So
it's because you're stuck playing as the two brothers the entire time, and so me and my friend wanted to switch, so we switched it up for the second time and turned up the difficulty all the way.
Another cool thing
about it, even though it was mediocre, was the whoever does better at the end, like totally tallies up your score. So there's competitive, says favorite son at the end. Whoever does better at the end gets a completely different ending.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But
that's cool.
For $6, I'd say get it. Maybe even 10 if you have another friend who has it. But other than that,
it's not really worth full price.
It is not endorsed by Pixel Legends.
Yeah. Ethan Hawks says nay.
Nah.
It's okay. Says nah.
Okay. That's my rating. Just a bunch of N's.
Okay. Matt Atkinson.
Yeah, so, well, what I've been playing recently, I was going to talk about something else, and then I realized that I really should talk about this game. Since we mentioned it on the Christmas episode, I've been playing Sonic Generations, actually.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that.
I've been loving it. I got it for Christmas, which is awesome. It's kind of funny. This really cycles back to last week, too, because I talked about my fifth favorite game being Sonic Adventure 2.
Yeah.
So I played Sonic Generations, and the way it works is basically you play as the classic Sonic 2D side-scrolling levels, and you play as modern Sonic.
Over the shoulder.
Over the shoulder, behind the back, 3D. Although the modern Sonic actually has 2D sections in his
right, levels. Just like kind of Sonic Colors did.
Yeah, which is kind of weird to me because if you have one character for 2D levels, why would the other character also do 2D
right,
levels?
Yeah.
So you recognize the map from the 2D mode?
No, they're not the exact same.
Well, they're not the
map,
exact
but
same.
For some reason, just
they
in certain levels,
change the perspective
he'll just go to a side scrolling section.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, so it's but the parts that are what's cool is that it goes into each individual one level per game. Uh-huh. Basically, there's a couple games here and there that are missed. But so you start Sonic 1, you go to Sonic 2, I think you do Sonic 3, and then it goes from there to the Sonic Adventure series.
Oh, cool!
So it skips a few games, and then it does Sonic Adventure 2.
Nice.
It does Sonic Heroes. It actually does, in fact, do Sonic the Hedgehog 2006.
Okay.
And
which there was a kind of a couple cool levels on that.
Yeah, like, and I'm sure remade into
yeah.
Sonic Generations format.
There's something salvageable there.
Yeah.
<that's
cool>. Yeah.
There you go. Oh man, and that game. Oh my gosh.
Calling it a game is being generous. It's more like the perpetual loading screen.
Yeah, exactly. And so, really, basically, the way it works is. Like, it does one per game, one level per game, and
okay.
I got to the...
Only one level per game?
Yes, only
oh.
one.
So only City Escape for Sonic Adventure 2. Battle.
Only Sonic...
That's
exactly.
a little disappointing. That's
yeah.
a little disappointing.
And so,
as
I know, I
let's
was...
Let's be honest, though, that's like the best level ever.
That is the best
it
level.
It is,
ever.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they chose that one, and that's basically my story, is I got to Sonic Adventure 1 and 2, and I was just like, I'm just playing these.
Yeah.
And I actually haven't gone forward to the Sonic 2006 level yet because
okay.
I just I don't know.
You have to muster up the motivation.
Exactly. I have.
You know what's coming.
I have.
You haven't prepared yourself yet.
Exactly. I have aced the Sonic 2000 the Sonic Adventure levels, the two
okay.
levels they have for that. They actually have
Now what game or what level do they have for Sonic Adventure 1?
I'm gonna get the name wrong. Speed Highway, I think yeah,
oh,
Speed
cool.
Highway.
Okay,
yeah, Speed Highway from that one. So that was a pretty good
running
choice.
Down the building.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And
the big question I have is on Sonic Adventure 2 Battle Level, the City Escape. In the 2D mode, do you use the snowboard or whatever the sliding down the
you
city?
Oh, do you
the street board?
Yeah, this is another good question because I think you do at the very beginning.
Okay, that's neat.
But
I don't know how that works in 3D Sonic, but
Here's the thing for me is right. So for which might be some surprising to some people because most people favor the 2D Sonic games over any of the 3D ones.
Right.
I really in Sonic Generations I really prefer the 3D Sonic levels to the classic traditional
okay.
ones. And I think it has something to do with that Sonic doesn't really work very well as a platformer because of how fast he moves.
Yeah.
And a lot of times in the 2D sections, especially when you get to the harder levels, it'll stop you and slow you down to do some platforming on some moving platforms, or you'll be running fast, and then like all of a sudden there'll be a bottomless pit coming up, and you gotta see. So
whenever Sonic kind of slows down,
it doesn't
stops
really work.
Like
and
Sonic,
when
it
stops
the,
feeling
with,
fun.
Yeah, with the 3D, with the modern levels, you actually get a lot more room to navigate. So even when there are sections that are platformers, like platforming sections, it feels a little bit more smooth. Like
and plus it's a behind the shoulder.
You can
view.
See what's
so
coming
you can
forward.
See what's coming, so you
yeah.
can prepare yourself to jump over that log or
exactly.
duck under that ledge.
Yeah.
You know.
So I haven't been playing as I've been playing the 2D sections to do them, but I actually haven't gone back and tried to A rank any of those ones or S rank is the highest you can get. Mm-hmm. But for like I said, for those two levels from Sonic Adventure 1 and Sonic Adventure 2, I've gone through and played them to the point where I'm probably not like the fastest or anything like that, but I can definitely. Just like blaze through them, boosting the whole way, and like I've gotten really good scores on that. I feel really proud of myself and accomplished.
All right, we're gonna go into a new section here, talking about what we're looking forward to, what's coming out, what's new in the industry right now, what are we anticipating?
It's a little segment that we like to call the Anticipation Station.
The Anticipation Station.
Oh, the Anticipation Station.
Alright.
I feel like that should be said with smooth jazz.
Smooth jazz.
Welcome
smooth
to
jazz will be deployed in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Anticipation Station on Pixel Legends Podcast.
The relaxing sounds will be commencing in 3.
Right, we got bad here. It's not relaxing.
All right. I'm way too loud. All right. So now we're going to be talking about what we're anticipating in the next couple weeks. And what we've kind of been discussing is the PlayStation Vita will soon be launching.
Yes.
And
it already has launched, but not in America.
Not in the U.S. So in Japan, let's talk about the Japanese launch for a little bit, and then we'll talk about what we expect in the next couple weeks when the Vita does launch.
Okay.
What have you guys been hearing about the Japanese launch? Here's what I heard: that it didn't go as well as they hoped it would.
Well, actually, the first couple weeks it went very well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In classic Japanese fashion, you had people lining up, getting up early at all the Japanese retailers, waiting in line for
Not just Japanese. I mean, have you ever been to an Apple store the day before an iPhone?
Right, well, there you go. Yeah. Well, anyone who was in Japan for the launch was lining up outside of retailers as early as 4 a.m. Some people had it pre-ordered at various places. Some people did not. I heard there was a shortage on the 32 gigabyte memory cards because they have gone away with the SD cards that they use for PSP. They have started their own brand
proprietary
new
ones.
Proprietary memory cards, which unfortunately aren't going to be cheap.
Yeah, that's the thing about proprietary.
So yeah, the Vita is going to be $250, but in order to play your Vita, you're going to
need
to
buy
closer to $300.
$40, $50 card.
Yeah, it's gonna come in 8 gig, 16 gig, and 32.
You're not gonna be able to use it on anything.
It'll be interesting to see if the 32 gig sells out as it did in Japan. I don't know if they will have learned from that, or if they want to keep demand high by keeping
the product low on the shelf.
Is that for downloading like old PSP games? Can you do
See, some of them you can. Yeah, there's actually several kind of aspects to it right now. There's the fact that you obviously have to save your progress on, because even though the Vita cartridges are, like I said, a cartridge.
Okay, they're not using disc. They're not using their disc system anymore.
No, the UMDs are done.
Okay.
They're actually even like kind of smaller than like 3DS cartridges, but they are cartridges that you put in the top of the system.
That's like a first for Sony, ever.
Well, it is. However, it's also, you're going to have the option to download a digital version instead.
Really?
Yeah. So we're kind of starting to see the beginning of this in the industry, where right from the beginning of a game's release, you will have the choice between a digital download copy or walking to a store to buy a actual physical copy of the game.
Really? That's going
to
be interesting.
Yeah.
Is it going to be, now is the price going to differ between those two?
You know, versions? In Japan, the digital copies were cheaper.
Okay, so that's big.
However, they don't have GameStop in Japan, and so it'll be interesting to see if that flies in America.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they come up with.
But see, that's the reason why the 32 gig cards were in high demand, is because of the fact that you can download games onto it, and so instead of just save progress you're saving on there, you actually are saving full, games onto the card.
Okay, so you really are it's downloading the entire game. It's a real bummer they didn't decide to use SD cards.
It's totally a reason why. It's the piracy thing.
Yeah, but that's the thing I actually really appreciate about the, because Nintendo of all people did that with the 3DS, which is kind of ironic because Nintendo's usually super proprietary. They had the whole GameCube had their own mini discs because they didn't trust using DVDs. So I'm surprised that Sony is actually the one going to a proprietary system. Now, what were you telling me before we started the podcast, something about the sales numbers in...
Yeah, the PSP, apparently, it was in the last week, it actually sold more than the Vita, which is shocking in some ways.
Yeah. Well, the PSP is a very popular system in Japan.
Yeah, well, it's also...
Especially
did it go
because
down
of
in price?
Monster Hunter.
Did it go down
It might have gone down in price since the Vita came out.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we were saying. There's like Vita had a very successful first couple weeks, but after that, it just kind of dipped. Like,
really?
Really hard. And so that, it being a Sony handheld, which are super popular in Japan, it's going to be really interesting to see what the U.S. launch does.
Yeah, well,
does
considering
on
that
February
the PSP 22nd. Didn't really hit it off big time in the U.S.
Right.
I'm not going to say it wasn't popular, because it definitely was, but the DS took over.
Yeah.
And this PSP never became the big handheld, so it'll be interesting to see what the Vita can do. And now that the DS, or the 3DS, is cheaper than the PSP, because back when they announced the price of $250, that was the same as a 3DS, but now
the
3DS is actually the cheaper option.
Uh-huh.
So...
even though it might actually be more expensive to make.
Yeah, are they going to make money on the consoles? Have you guys found that out?
Yeah, I actually just read an article today. It's estimated to cost about $160 to build a Vita.
Okay.
And they're selling for $250.
Okay. So they're making a healthy profit.
Yeah. The only thing is, the reason why it hasn't really took fire in it, or it hasn't really caught steam. I don't know what the phrase is.
Caught steam?
Let's cut this part out. Hold on.
We'll leave it in. Caught steam. This is new. We're gonna use that.
What's catching steam right now?
The reason why the Vita hasn't really
Pixel Legend podcast
taken off,
catching steam. We're gonna be in the hearts and minds of children everywhere. We're catching steam.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So the reason that the PS3 Vita, the PSP Vita, hasn't cut off.
We're all forgetting the English language right now. But the reason why the PS Vita hasn't really taken off in Japan is because there aren't really any hardcore
games
for the Japanese audience being released right now. Uncharted is a launch title there, but it probably means more to Western gamers than it is over there. Hot Shots Golf, or in Japan known as Mingoru Golf or something, how to pronounce it.
Sounds Japanese enough.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
That's probably, I think, the most popular one. There's a Katamari game, I think, that came out as well.
Okay.
It's the rollyball game.
It's the rollyball game.
Oh, right? Yes.
That's the rollyball game.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We have our efficient games journalist right here, our editor for our website. That's the rollyball game.
You know
game,
what, guys? I talked about Fear 3, you guys haven't touched that game. Okay, so, you know what? Have rollyball.
I like the fact that we all have, pretty different tastes in games, that it kind of covers our bases.
Yeah, otherwise this podcast would get boring very quickly.
I like Call of Duty. Me too.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
Call of Duty.
No, there's anything wrong with that.
It's like, don't offend those guys, man. That sold 10 million copies in like the first week or whatever.
Yeah, there's no denying its success, for sure.
There's no denying.
Anyway, sorry, back to the Vita.
As soon as a Monster Hunter comes out on it, it'll probably be insane.
Yeah.
Because the 3DS actually sold crazy numbers
when they launched
the Monster Hunter Tri-G, which hasn't been announced for America yet. It is basically a director's cut renovation of...
Monster Hunter Tri
for the Wii.
It's the game where you hunt monsters, right?
Just want to clarify there. We're catching Ethan up to speed on the Japanese game market.
I really hope that they release that in America, because that would be really cool. I never played the Wii.
Yeah, neither did I. No, I've never played a single Monster Hunter game, actually.
And I've never owned a PSP either, so I never played any of those Monster Hunters.
From what I
hear...
Which
are insanely popular.
I hear, it's kind of like Pokemon...
But not as
kiddie.
Pokemon meets Phantasy Star.
Yeah, like it's like Pokemon, but not quite as kiddie. More like not like adult, but it's like, you know, it's a little bit older audience. I guessing that's what I've kind
of
heard about.
Yeah, it is the Call of Duty of Japan.
Really,
basically,
that's
fan-wise.
That
kind of
game.
It is.
Japanese are weird, man.
Yeah.
Hey, well, have you seen Call of Duty?
We're weird too.
Where else would we get Mario and Sonic, though?
Yeah, that's
true. Seriously. I mean, who else is going to get a blue hedgehog that runs really fast?
Or an Italian plumber wearing a red hat and overalls that can jump insanely high and run really fast for a chubby.
Yeah, you know what? I like a lot of these game ideas. Like, where did these come from?
Yeah, they're so classic, but then when you think about it, it's like, what am I?
Why is this the plumber?
We really gotta dedicate an episode, I think, to exploring some fun character.
Yeah, some classic video game tropes that haven't really actually been explained.
If you think about it, like, wait, that's weird. That doesn't make any sense.
It's a monkey running around with a tie. Why does he have a tie? Why can't he just be naked? I don't know.
Well, he's a classy monkey.
He doesn't have pants on.
So much for keeping it classy.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? You know, when I feel like dressing up in a suit and a top hat, sometimes I don't feel like wearing pants. Don't judge.
Oh, right.
Right? He doesn't have a top hat, though. Or a shirt. No. Or a suit.
Right now, I do. Oh, okay. I'm not a suit, but I am wearing clothes right now. I'm wearing clothes right now. Don't worry.
Yes, he is, or else we would not be here recording this. Anyway. At least not in such close proximity.
I would be if I was blind.
He wouldn't care anymore.
All right.
Well, I think
Let's talk about this. Since we're anticipating the Vita. Anticipation stage. Talk about the Vita.
It is the anticipation
stage. We've talked about a little bit about how it's done in Japan and how it's doing or not doing in Japan right now. But it is coming out in America February 22nd.
Indeed.
Ironically enough, a lot of the launch titles are actually coming out before the system on February 15th.
There's nothing else that I heard. This is like a week before. Right?
Any games you guys are looking forward to? I mean, I don't know if any of us are going to be able to afford a Vita when it comes out. But assuming you could, what would probably be your go-to title?
I haven't even looked at most of the launch titles. All I know is Uncharted.
Okay. Really, Uncharted is the only one that I'd really put my for a launch title that I really want to risk. Yeah, money
I feel bad though because I haven't played any other Uncharted games. Okay. I don't know, does it tie into it or is it? Does anyone?
It's
know
an in between game, right?
I think it's a side story.
Okay,
I just finished the first Uncharted.
Yeah, so me, I have not played them either. So this is a game that I've been the game series that I've been meaning to get around.
It's good. I really liked the first one. The one that looks really interesting to me is a game called Gravity Rush.
Okay. What was that?
Where you're, they just show you kind of like this, you're in a city, but you're like shifting the gravity around. So you're like floating around, like walking on buildings and then like things like that. Like it's just, the art style looks really kind of, really, you know, stylistic, but it just kind of looks like one of those like vertigo kind of inducing, you know, experience. It looks really cool.
That's cool.
What are those kind of creative ideas?
Well, so, yeah, something that is different. I like that sort of stuff. If it's got an original idea.
Vita features, like the tilt or anything?
I imagine it would. Interestingly enough,
it has everything. The Vita just has
everything. Yeah, I just think it's like, even a traditional game like Uncharted is actually implementing the touching
on
the back. You actually like tap ledges to like jump
controls.
Ledges and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, soon it would be like you have to throw the Vita up in the air to do a jump.
That would be catastrophic.
If you want to.
And you know, if you look, do a little 3DS game, was it the Face Raiders game? You're sitting around looking up and down everywhere.
Don't play that in public.
Speaking of that, actually, though, the Vita has a game coming out called Reality Fighters.
Which looks pretty cool.
You're taking full body shots of people posing in like fighting stances, and you basically use your friends as the characters to play a fighting game.
I swore they did that in for the DSi. I swore they had a game just like that.
They might have.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
I swore they did that for Mortal Kombat, like the original. I swore they did that. No, that's pretty cool. That's an interesting take on the same similar sort of.
So it's kind of cool. It is going to be its own separate game, though. It's not built in like Face Raiders was for the 3DS. But there are a couple interesting things. There's no like killer app yet.
That's the thing. Is like I thought I was gonna be really like looking forward to the Vita to see how that was doing, but I guess I'm not. I haven't been impressed with the. I haven't really. Nothing stood out to me as.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games out for it, but none of them are just interesting to me.
Yeah, I think that's gonna be the case. I'm gonna check out that game. What was the game that you said?
Gravity Rush.
Gravity Rush.
Yeah, check that out. That looks really interesting.
I'll look at that one.
A few other games coming out. There's Hot Shots Golf, Wipeout 2048. There's gonna be a Wipeout game. Ridge Racer. Standard for any system launch. Yes. There's gonna be a Ridge Racer.
And that's never gonna show up again on the system. Just the beginning.
Yeah.
Just kind of obligatory. Kind of just like, well, we have to. So there you go.
Actually, I've heard rumors of a Final Fantasy X remake for the Vita, which I would be very interested in. Actually,
remaking games. Never heard that before.
Well, Final Fantasy.
If Andrew's a Final Fantasy fan,
I'm kind of a sucker.
I did hear that, and I acknowledge that.
And that's about all I was willing to say.
Yeah, I guess me and Ethan are in the non JRPG camp.
No, I'm not mad at the I don't care what you like. Do what you want in your little your own house. You can play all the games you want, do whatever you do.
Just don't bug me about it.
It's okay. He's playing Fear.
Yeah.
So
all right, well, next week next week we're going to force Ethan to play Final Fantasy X. Andrew will have to play Amnesia: The Dark Descent, and we'll report back on our findings.
I'm making no promises.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up for this episode.
I wasn't done.
Yes, I'm done.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say, I'm not actually like... I wasn't sighing at him playing Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
I didn't get around to that.
You guys make up. Kiss and make up.
No, I don't care. The point is I'm a little tired of all the HD releases. Like, it just seems to be standard. Right. PlayStation, Sony at least, has been really just like, hey, remember these games? These are fun. Let's crank these out. Certain games, like Shadow of Colossus, I think, because if you play that game on PlayStation 2, it was really laggy.
It was badly optimized.
It was badly optimized. It was too much of an epic game.
It was a little grainy, graphically. Yeah. But
it was too big for the PS2.
I am playing that right now with the HD remake on the PS3, and it's wonderful.
I have it as well.
I played through the game entirely on PS2, but I never actually owned it. And so it's kind of cool to actually have it.
Yeah.
Not only have it, but have it in HD and
play
through it again. It's great.
Have you been playing Ego at all? Did you
I haven't started Ego yet. No. Just because I love Child Bosses.
Yeah,
I was in a hurry to get back to it.
I had to
race to that one bird, Colossus. That's one of my favorite parts of the game.
They're coming out with, what is it? Not Ratchet Clank. Jack and Daxter.
Oh, they're coming out with the Jack and Daxter HD collection.
Yeah, yes. With all three of them.
That would be interesting. I still own all three on the PS2, though. I don't know if I can justify buying that.
Yeah, is it Jack and Daxter or Ratchet and Clank?
Jack and Daxter. I think you'd like those.
I played the first one. I remember loving it.
Yeah. The second one.
That's the thing. I never got like it drastically changed with the second and third. And
yeah,
never,
but in a good way.
I know. I'm not denying that. I'm just I didn't own a PS2 at the time.
Oh, okay.
So it was about me like being able to borrow my friends or going over to his house and play it.
Okay.
So I don't think anyone else I know had.
Well, if you don't have any of those, it might be worth you picking up the HD collection.
The HD collection, that might be an interesting thing.
$4 as a standard going for.
If it's got three games on it, it depends on how much they remake.
That's true.
If they just kind of like up the resolution or whatever, that's all they do. Mm-hmm. Then sometimes that's all they do.
It is Naughty Dog, though. You know, they usually do good work.
Yeah, yeah, and so I've been pleased with Naughty Dog for the most part from their
Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot was great, and then
Uncharted
is the new stuff, and then in between they had Jack and Daxter.
Yeah.
Right. Just Jack when it got to the...
So anything else we should mention about the Vita, though, before we kind of close out this section, or...
What do you guys think about it? Are you guys ever going to pick it up?
I'd like to think that I'd be able to kind of afford it, but like I said, it's just I'm not going to pick it up probably at lunch just because I don't know what I would want to play on it right now that I feel like I need to play. Uncharted, you know, would be great, but I still want to play through... I'd rather play through Uncharted 2 because I only just finished the first one. Gravity Rush looks great, but then again, I don't know if it's worth... Shell the $250 right now.
Then more for the memory card, then more for the game.
Exactly.
Is there a social feature kind of like the 3DS?
There is. I haven't looked into it too much, but it's pretty vast. Like there's a lot of different things.
Yeah, you can do. Like the same Street Pass thing.
They really build a lot of E3 as being like the really cool thing. Where, like,
well, a lot of it's online. We should also mention this too. When the Vita launches, there's actually two versions you can buy. You can buy the Wi-Fi one
and
the 3G, which is connected to
AT&T.
So you have to have an AT&T kind of like data plan set up in order to use it online. I'm probably just going to go Wi-Fi.
I wonder how successful that will be.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Because I mean, I remember them getting boos from the audience
when they announced that AT&T was going to be the carrier for it. Yeah,
they got booed. Like that was not just like a
during the press
conference. It was literally no.
Yeah,
like and
well, some people kind of like just like laughing. Like
yeah, are you good? Are you kidding?
You Japanese don't know what we feel about AT&T. Yeah.
And then it was and then you got to pay for the data plan too. So yeah. I do not see myself. I don't see many people buying.
Back to me. I need to talk about. I was almost before when I saw the 2 announced at E3. I was like, or not the 2. I already had a 3DS was out. The E3. I was like, maybe I'll get a PlayStation Vita instead of a 3DS. And I was like, I don't see any. Think about my PlayStation. I had a PlayStation Portable and I never played it. I just never felt like there was any good games for it, at least for the first year I had it. And then I was like, you know, I'm just going to sell this. I'm going to I didn't find anything fun out of it.
Yeah,
that'll be the thing. You just have to kind of.
The games are gonna, the games are what's going to decide it.
Yeah, it's like I didn't get a 3DS until Mario and Mario Kart and like Star Fox came out. You know,
I got it to collect all the Miis.
Yeah, he got it during E3. Because
we woke up really early
because he saw how many Miis I was getting.
And I was like, man, I gotta beat Matt. I gotta get way more Miis than him, and I'm gonna beat that game.
I'm way behind you guys on that. Yeah,
don't worry. There's
One of the other things to talk about, I guess, one of the big features of Vita is, I don't know if they're gonna do this in America yet, but in Japan they did this thing called the UMD Passport Program, where if you owned a game on PSP, you actually owned the UMD. You could put it in your PSP, your original PSP, connect to the PlayStation Network, register your UMD, and they have finally actually confirmed that each UMD has an individual identifier on it. You know, so if one person were to register it, bring it to a used game store, buy the used copy and then be able to register it. You won't be able to do that. So if you register that game, UMD, you
get it. You have it on your account.
No, well, it shows up in your account, the digital version to download on Vita at a discounted price.
So you have to buy it again.
You still have to purchase it.
I was excited there for a little.
Yeah, yeah, I thought you had me for a second. Like, oh, that's a really nice.
I don't know how much cheaper it is. And again, I don't even know if this is how they're going to do
$3
it.
$3 off.
Are you sure they're going to have like each code for each PSP? Because that seems like a great way to combat the used game sales. Like,
well,
they still have to buy it anyway.
Each UMD somehow. I don't know if it's on the disc or it has to be on the disc or something where it actually has an individual identifier. Just kind of like with Club Nintendo and all the 3DS games right now, it comes with that code inside where you can register your product, earn Nintendo points, and
it's like that.
It's you know, along that kind of line. So
all right,
it'll be interesting what the US launch looks like. They have announced a few games that are already out to be ported, kind of in a PS Vita version. Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is going to be on there.
BioShock.
There's gonna be a BioShock game on there.
I forgot about that. That's the game. I'm gonna buy it.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
When the Vita comes out, or when
no,
when BioShock,
no, when BioShock
comes out.
Comes out.
When BioShock comes out.
Ethan will be our Vita correspondent.
Okay.
All those, all those things.
Oh, so you guys aren't gonna buy it.
I'd like to get one.
Okay. I think I'm gonna wait until it drops in price.
Yeah, me too.
Did
PSP ever drop in price?
Oh, of course.
Eventually did. I just don't know when.
Rayman Origins is supposed to come to the Vita.
Okay. I already had that on PS3, so...
Okay.
But it is a very nice game.
Street Fighter Cross Tekken, which isn't out yet on consoles, but it's going to be soon, and it's coming out on Vita as well, supposedly.
So a lot of ports, then.
Yeah. Because it's got PS3, supposedly PS3-level graphics, so...
Yeah, so that'll be interesting claim to verify PS3-level graphics on a handheld console. Mm-hmm. I don't know how...
The videos I've seen of the Uncharted Golden Abyss look good, though.
Yeah, I just don't understand how that would work, so that's, like, not possible, but... Anyway, I guess that kind of wraps it up for the Vita talk, then.
Yeah.
Let's see what time we are. And... Yeah, so...
That's
the end.
We're gonna edit this section.
Totally. No, I'm gonna do more editing on this one than I did on the last couple.
Yeah, we're gonna have to.
Alright, well, that is interesting. The Vita coming out February, was it
22nd?
Yeah, February 22nd. So if anyone's getting one or planning to get one or not, feel free to email us explaining why or... saying what you're looking forward to about it.
And if you pick one up, tell us your first impressions of it.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be happy to hear about it, and we'll read your email on our podcast.
Are you saying we're not going to have another podcast until it comes out?
No, we will. We just may not be
talking about the Vita
instead
of podcast. Okay. Yeah.
We're not advertising for Sony here. They're not paying us anything.
Not yet, at least.
Not yet.
All right. Well, we'll see you again next week. We might have a slightly different format again next week, but we will be... keeping you guys updated, and thank you for listening.
Yeah. And please do email us, pixellegends@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah, I didn't say the email address.
Because we want to be able to have a section where we read your mail. So if you have something that, if you want your voice to be heard, we'd love to read it on the podcast. So if you'd like to be a part of the show in any way, please email us, give us your thoughts, give us your opinions, tell us what you're excited about, and we'd love to have that kind of communication with you guys.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Ethan approved.
Well said.
All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Why did I say thank you?